broadcasting live from the Tucson Original Studios. This is KEVT Salida Tucson, the Tucson Originals, local dining at its best.
Hey, Arizona, Guy Fieri here from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on the Food Network. I hope you'll be listening to On the Menu Live with the Madman, Matt Russell.
Welcome to On the Menu Live, the most delicious hour on radio and the hottest in culinary and cocktail talk. And now, broadcasting live from another Power Happy Hour on Power Talk 1210, here's your host, Matt Russell.
Hey, fellow foodies, congratulations! You made it to the most delicious hour on radio like you do every Saturday at 4 o'clock right here for another Power Happy Hour here on Power Talk 1210. I am your host. I am your hungry, thirsty host, Matt Russell, broadcasting to you live from the restaurant that has earned more buzz. When it comes to new restaurants that open in Southern Arizona, there's always a little bit of buzz, but I, and not in my history of doing this show, have I ever felt as much buzz around the opening of a new restaurant as I have experienced now. We are broadcasting live from Oban Sushi Ramen Bar on the corner of 4th and Congress in downtown Tucson. The doors just swung open. The crowd is coming in. They're hungry. They're thirsty. Come on down. We got Iron John's beers that are on special tonight. A Bavarian Pilsner, which is perfect for this time of the year. My good friend Brandon Katz here tells me that some Kanpachi is going to be on special tonight as well. This is a baby yellowtail. And folks, you think you know what sushi is? You think you know what ramen is? I want you to forget everything you've known about both and come experience them the way they were intended to be here at Oban. Now, as we scan the landscape of celebrity co-hosts like we do every Saturday at 4 o'clock, I just had to have this guy on because I just got to know him on the food and beverage scene just a few weeks ago, and I've already begun to be fascinated by the story that he tells. He is a brother in the Tucson food and cocktail media scene, representing this great new storytelling, digital, delicious, multi-dimensional site, 520 Eats, Jamie Rice. What's going on, man?
Nothing. Thanks. What a great introduction there.
Well, you know, I mean, this is what we do. You know, food and cocktails and libations and hospitality, that's in our blood, man. That's in our DNA, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, yeah. And I've been around in Tucson anyway for 20 years in this business. So it's exciting for me to finally have a voice and be out there online. It's really exciting.
Well, we're going to talk about 520 Eats here in just a couple minutes. But you say you've been in Tucson in this industry for 20 years. Where did you get your start?
I started my first job out of college. I went to NAU, so I was a hotel restaurant management.
Go Jacks.
Go Jacks.
Right on.
Actually, my first year in college was at U of A, and then I transferred up to the mountains because it was a little cooler. And I came back to Tucson, and I started with Shelby at Beyond Bread very briefly.
Nice.
From there, I went to Raw Sushi, and I spent a lot of years there. I was 5 years there where I got to know Brandon and Chef Paulo. And I learned a lot there about sushi and restaurants and running that business. And then from there, I was at Fox Restaurants for a while.
Right on.
I did a short stint with Kingfisher, which everybody knows and loves. So, yeah.
Well, you've been at all the A-list places in town.
I tried, yeah.
Right on. And so what are you doing now? What's the day gig?
So now I work at a food distribution company, which is where I met several good friends, and which is kind of how this whole 520 Eats thing came about. One night over happy hour, we would get together every week and kind of collaborate. And one of the guys was in the liquor business for a long time, and one of the guys was a chef for a long time. And we were all kind of in food one way or another. And we'd find ourselves, just collaborating over beers and whiskey at the end of the week and talking about what's going on in Tucson and who's opening, who's closing, what this chef is doing, what that chef's doing. And we decided, why don't we put this on paper so we can kind of share with everybody else.
And I love you say 520 Eats is a product of Friday Night Happy Hour. A liquor distributor, a food snob, a cook, and a bartender just happened to meet at a time when Tucson was going through a transformation. Now, which one of those were you, Jamie Rice?
I'll plead the fifth on that. I think I'm the bartender in that scenario.
So when did 520 Eats actually formally launch?
Just about 3 months ago.
Wow.
So we're really new.
But the community really has responded. I mean, you've attracted an improvement. Oh, my gosh. That's Jack Tate.
No.
Jack Tate from Hub and Playground and all of the deliciousness downtown. Usually comes with an advance team. to sort of sweep the premises to make sure that it's okay for him to come.
Actually, usually he brings ice cream.
Jack Tate's in the house. So in just a few months, you've earned this huge response. You've got this online, but we don't want to call it a blog, though, do we?
The word blog to me is always, you know, I've never liked it. It sounds like a swampy marshland. It is what it is, but we're more of a culinary social media outlet, I guess. You know, we're on Instagram and Facebook and, of course, the Internet and Twitter. Some of those things I don't quite get. I've got a partner for that. But, kind of all-encompassing social media. It is a blog, but just the term always struck me is odd.
But what do you want 520 Eats to be? I mean, are you a review site? Are you a storytelling site? Are you talking about specials on the street? Are you doing sort of personality profiles of some of these folks in this town that are rock stars in the culinary and cocktail scene? I mean, what is 520 Eats really supposed to do for this community?
A little bit of all of that. You know, we're not just a review site, and we're here really to focus on the positive, so you're not going to find a negative review. We're not out there going into a place and kind of tearing them up. We want to be mainly focused chef-driven, cocktail-driven, meet with the brewers, you know, Iron John. We've got something in the works with him.
Great.
Some of the wineries down in southern Arizona. We like to do a lot of videos and how something comes to fruition. There's a lot of hard work that goes into making a successful restaurant.
For
even
sure.
Making an unsuccessful restaurant is a lot of hard work sometimes. So we really tend to focus on that. And I think from our background, we are kind of injected in that scene. We know a lot of people who have started from the ground up. So as far as our content, that's kind of where we're heading is, you know, when you try a ramen bowl here, it took weeks and weeks and weeks of trial and error to get it to where it is. It doesn't just happen.
Right.
It takes a talented chef and a group of people to try different things, to experiment, to think outside the box, to take kind of a classic dish and put their spin on it and make it delicious. So that's what we're focusing on with food and with cocktails, the same thing. You drink an Iron John's beer, well, it didn't just magically appear in that bottle. There was
right
a lot of hard work and thought that goes into creating that, and we want to kind of capture that and present it to our audience. How that came to be and give them a better understanding of everything that goes into creating this stuff.
And what a great coincidence, because when you think about people that are doing spectacular things in Suds and spectacular things at the center of the plate, I mean, what Chef Paulo is doing here is extraordinary.
He's really
and we're going to be talking to him a little bit later on in the show. And what John's doing at Iron John's, I mean, he brings this sense of chemistry to the brewing process, which is absolutely love. Those bombers are, again, on special here. So 520eats.com, and of course it'll take you to the Facebook page, to the Twitter page, to every social media channel you can imagine.
Exactly.
I talked about Oban being, you know, I've been in this community a long time, and I see restaurants come and go, and I love when restaurants open. There's a lot of fanfare around that.
Yeah.
Do you remember a time when a restaurant opened with as much buzz in this community as Oban?
It's insane, and just even in the last couple of years in Tucson, there really has been, you know, I don't know what you want to call it, but the scene has changed quite a bit. So it's very exciting to see. You know, I know Brandon has worked very hard, and he knows a lot of people in this business. Chef Paulo knows a lot of people. And so the community is kind of really surrounding and supporting this. But none of that means anything if the product's not good.
Right on.
And it really is, you know. So that helps a lot. Who you know, and that's great. It gets people in the door. But to truly stand the test of time, you've got to be dedicated. You've got to be passionate. You've really got to know what you're doing. And I think these guys do. We're really excited for this restaurant, and they're going to be here for a long time.
I'm glad you talked about passion, because, you know, a lot of people sort of bandy that word about cavalierly. When you come into Oban and you get to know the team here, I mean, it's almost like the spirit of passion is what guided the development of this restaurant.
Yeah.
I mean, it's passion from in a surround sound way.
Yeah. If you don't have it, you're not going to be here 15, 16 hours a day, 70, 80 hours a week, you know, struggling over the smallest details, and I'm looking around now, and I mean, the place is beautiful, and everything is in it. And that's, none of this is an accident. You know, you walk in and it looks so easy, and I've always equated the restaurant business to a play. It's a show. You know, as a customer, you walk in and everything just looks so effortless and easy, And that's when you've done it right. But you throw back the curtain back there some nights, I'm sure, and it's utter chaos. You know, it's controlled chaos on a daily basis. And so you've almost got to be crazy to want to be in this business and do it, Dan. And
well, we're going to ask Brennan Katz that himself right after a nice commercial break. We're talking to Jamie Rice. He's our celebrity co-host for the full hour from 520 Eats. Check it out online. Be a part of this great, delicious conversation that Jamie and his partners have put together, because I tell you what, one look at some of the photos that they have posted on their site, one read of some of the wonderful stories that they tell, you'll be in and you'll be in deep. Anyway, we're going to take a quick commercial break and thank a couple of sponsors. And when we come back, the man of the hour himself, Brandon Katz, boss man BK, is here. He's going to tell us a little bit about what this whole Oban concept is and how that translates to the center of the plate. You're listening to On the Menu Live on Power Talk 1210. Stick around, fellow foodies. We will be right back.
What are the top three ways to stay current on Tucson's culinary and cocktail scene throughout the week? First, like On the Menu Live on Facebook. Then, follow On the Menu Live on Twitter. And finally, check out On the Menu Live on Instagram. It's On the Menu Live with Matt Russell on Power Talk 1210. Feel the power, baby.
Well, here we are at Acacia Real Food and Cocktails on Skyline and Campbell, and we just ran into Chef Albert Hall. Hey, Chef.
Welcome back to Acacia, Matt. It's always great to see you up here.
So what's cooking?
Well, as you know, our happy hour is always rocking with great food and drink specials every day of the week. And our lunch, dinner, and Sunday brunch menus are ever-changing with fresh, honest, and local ingredients. You know that's what we're all about.
As you say, Chef, real food, real cocktails. That's what keeps me coming back.
Don't forget to check our website regularly for information on upcoming specials, classes, and events.
Yep, acaciatucson.com.
Let's go get a drink, Matt.
I'm in.
Acacia, real food and cocktails on the northeast corner of Skyline and Campbell. Open daily from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Has this ever happened to you? Let's say you're out for happy hour on a Friday night, and after a few cocktails, you and your friends decide to stay for dinner, which includes a couple glasses of wine. And when it's time to go home, you ask yourself, am I really able to drive, or shall I just call a taxi? Well, Arizona's DUI laws are very strict, so driving yourself is just plain stupid. On the other hand, calling a taxi means that you have to find a way back to your car the next day. And we all know how inconvenient that is. The next time you're in this situation, leave the driving to the Entourage Transportation Group. A phone call to Entourage quickly dispatches an electric scooter to your location, and a fully licensed and insured driver neatly folds the scooter up, places it in your trunk, and drives you home in your own car. When you arrive home, the driver simply unpacks the scooter and drives off to the next call. Both you and your car are home safe. Take this number down and keep it handy whenever you go out for drinks and dinner. You'll be glad you did. 909-0100. That's 909-0100.
Hey, all you barbecue pitmasters out there in Arizona. This is Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and you're listening to On the Menu Live with my pal Matt Russell. It's the most delicious hour on radio.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It is Matt Russell broadcasting live deep in the heart of another power happy hour here on Power Talk 1210, live from Oban Sushi Ramen Bar on the corner of 4th and Congress in the heart of downtown Tucson. Again, we got Iron John's beers on special tonight. This wonderful Bavarian Pilsner that is, again, perfect for this warm weather we're having. Some great Kampachi Baby Yellowtail is on special. People are coming in the door. It's certainly not my trap that's bringing them in. It's the aroma of the setting. And probably our celebrity co-host, Jamie Rice, who travels with his own entourage from 520 Eats. How you doing?
I'm doing very well.
Good, good. Well, why don't you introduce our next guest? Let's see how you do this.
Our next guest is the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Brandon Katz, the owner of this fine establishment. I've known him for years, and I couldn't be prouder of all these accomplished with this. So,
I'm going to weep.
Thank you. Thank you.
Brandon Katz, what's going on, brother?
Living the dream, guys. It's been a wild ride these last few weeks, so I'm happy to have you guys here and happy to get the word out via radio.
We are so happy for you and your team to take something out of nothing. To say, okay, well, this is a concept that you've probably been thinking about for a long time.
Sure.
And you come and you say, I got to be downtown. You found this killer space, 4th and Congress, convenient to wherever you are downtown on this historic East End. And you have brought traditional Japanese dining with these modern expressions that we're going to be talking to Chef Paolo about. But the name, Oban, actually has a story in and of itself from Japanese culture.
Yeah, you know, it does. Obviously in researching a name, we wanted something that would stand out first and foremost. And, just kind of getting the overall feel of what we were going to build into this restaurant. Looking through traditional Japanese terminologies and ancient you know, type events that go on, we came across Obon. And, you know, Obon, you know, way back in history had a very, you know, religious connotation to it with Buddhism. But, you know, over time, like everything, it's evolved into, you know, a three-day-long festival each year in Japan. And, you know, it becomes an event where they call upon their family, their ancestors. There's dinner, there's dancing, there's, you know, continuous amounts of fun over the course of those 3 days. So what we wanted to do is create an ambiance that kind of reflected on that, to where when you walked in here, you forgot your troubles. It's a very social atmosphere, you know, very East Coast style dining, if you will, to where, you know, you see people in here, you know people, you can converse with other tables if you care to do that. And, you know, it's just a kind of a free-flowing atmosphere in here. We wanted everything to be positive.
You know, speaking of positive, I'm looking at your guys behind the bar. Now, you know, Matt Martinez is going to be joining us in a few minutes. I mean, watching him work, I mean, it's like dinner and a show, for crying out loud. But this other guy back here in his own right, I mean, I don't know his name, but he's stirring a cocktail with one hand,
sure,
and he's shaking a cocktail in another. He's like multi-purposing behind
the
bar.
He's awesome. Yeah.
That's just unbelievable.
Yeah, that's Ryan Sunderman. He has his own following and accolades in his own. I mean, he was a former 47 Scott guy as well. You know, first and foremost, the team I have here, I could not have done it without them. What I've learned in my age and my experience is that you surround yourself with the best possible people, and I have that in my bartender, my mixologist. I have that in my chefs.
So you talk about East Coast dining. Talk a little bit more about that. What do you mean by that?
You know, you saw the social dining movement with something like a Union Social House, to where the tables are just in an open room, and that kind of adapted the East Coast style to where everybody is in an open space, whereas, you know, old school Tucson dining were nooks and crannies and booths and seclusion. You know, that's not the way Japanese cuisine works. You know, I don't think Tucson was quite ready for all communal tables. We definitely had that thought in our head for a little while. But I wanted people close together. You know, we didn't just cram tables in here, although, yes, we tried to fit as much seating as possible to make sure that we can adhere to the guest demand. But we wanted people to kind of feel, you know, in an open space and with each other while they dine, rather than two people coming in to exclude themselves, get on their Wi-Fi. You know, it's part of the reason we don't play television in here. We play anime and old movies on mute. Because, you know,
beautiful.
Frankly, we want you focused on the environment. We want you to eat food.
Beautiful. Absolutely. So, Obon, it's about celebration. It's about family. It's about life's rich rewards.
Absolutely.
And you can experience all of that right here, both at the center of the plate and in the bowl, for that matter, and in the center of the glass. Now, you know, Jamie and I were talking about this explosion that happened downtown when you guys opened your doors. I mean,
sure.
And you're a guy that's opened, you know, a number of restaurants on your journey yourself.
Sure.
What do you think is it about Obon that really, I think, has set the it's sort of the pinnacle experience for a new restaurant opening in Tucson? I've never
sure.
seen anything like this before.
You know, I think the concept itself lacked in Tucson. I don't think there's anything like it. So building buzz around a new idea is a lot easier than building buzz around an idea that maybe just has a few alterations from something that's currently existing. So when we definitely started hitting the ground running, you know, I took control of all social media and marketing, and we didn't have a budget for it. So I decided to kind of throw things out there, be a little humorous online, kind of go after some critics and just, you know, have fun with it. I think it's the best way to get out there. But yeah, with that, I mean, I think the corner itself was set, primed, ready for the, you know, a great looking restaurant. It's at the gateway to downtown. You know, I've been very, very adamant about that. There's three ways into downtown, and two of them come right in front of our front door. So we definitely wanted to make it pop and make it really known that we're going to do something great here.
And I love that you have really maximized that outdoor patio.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it can be a number of things, but you guys have really made that patio come alive. And what I love about it is, I mean, it's just like the perfect patio space down here.
Right. Yeah, there's nothing like it. It's the largest square footage front patio on Congress. You know, obviously, Hi-Fi has a good amount of covered patio. Our seating capacity to people watch is unlike any other restaurant. I mean, even, you know, Congress has an amazing patio, yet it faces, you know, the other direction.
Right.
So we have a few more changes we're going to make, too. We're going to eventually put a covering out there and make it a lot more enjoyable during different temperatures. But with the garage doors, with the patio, as soon as this weather turns, we're going to have the most ideal seating on Congress.
You got great restaurant, Knox Kitchen and Cocktails, up on Skyline and Campbell. You have Goodness, which is, you know, always one of our favorite places to grab and go and have a great meal on Campbell. Right. Why downtown for Obon?
You know, I'm a third-generation native here. I moved away in 2007 and got back in 2014 and you know, opened my eyes to what downtown had started becoming. It was an opportune situation for sushi. You know, unfortunately, Dominic, after an amazing run, decided to close his doors at On the Roll. But with that, it kind of left that void. Now, we were coming in anyways. We felt that this type of cuisine fitted downtown more than most. A quick bite, a light bite, some sake and sushi before you go out at night. There's nothing down here that's just kind of light, you know, a light fare to come in and enjoy and just have a snack.
I dig it. Well, we're going to enjoy and have a snack a little bit later on in the show, but we're going to take a quick commercial break. But when we come back, Matt Martinez is in the house. We're going to he's going to take a little break from his job behind the bar. We're going to be talking about Asian-inspired cocktails. We're going to be talking about sake. We're going to be talking about all the mandatories that you have to have when you're libating authentically here in a traditional Japanese style. But don't go away, fellow foodies. We're going to be right back. You're listening to On the Menu Live on Power Talk 1210. Don't go away.
Hey there, fellow foodies, Matt Russell here, and I say that nothing makes a culinary and cocktail experience more legendary than a premium cigar. And Jerry's Cigars has everything for the Tucson cigar enthusiast. With more than 70,000 cigars in stock, Jerry's has a cigar for every taste and size, including rare and hard-to-find cigars, alongside an impressive showcase of lighters and cutters, humidors, and other accessories. Swing by Jerry's for some sticks to go, or fire one up in the climate-controlled comfort of Jerry's Cigar Lounge. Jerry's Cigars, the official tobacconist of On the Menu Live. Come see him today at 4433 North 1st Avenue, just north of Wetmore Road, or give them a call at 887-7778. That's 887-7778. The Tucson Originals Restaurants is a dynamic group of independently owned fine dining, casual, and neighborhood restaurants. Since 1999, Tucson Originals Restaurants have been working together to preserve and promote the unique culinary spirit of Tucson. This alliance has helped many of Tucson's signature restaurants thrive and become icons in the Tucson dining scene. Tucson Originals provides support to member restaurants to ensure locally owned restaurants continue to offer wonderful and diverse dining experiences right here in Tucson. Tucson Originals connects Tucsonans with the local food community in interesting and interactive ways, including cooking classes and demonstrations. Check out their website at TucsonOriginals.com and follow them on Facebook and Twitter at Tucson Originals. Whether you're a local restaurant owner or just love good food, check out Tucson Originals Restaurants and be a part of something delicious.
How's it going, Tucson? Jeff Morrow here from the Sandwich King on the Food Network. Thanks for listening to On the Menu Live with my buddy Matt Russell.
And welcome back, fellow foodies. You're listening to On the Menu Live. It is Matt Russell broadcasting live from Oban. It's just a fun name to say. It's a delicious name to say. Oban. There's ramen. There's sushi. There's a bar. And there's Jamie Rice from 520 Eats. Having a great time on your On the Menu Live debut.
I am, yeah.
You know, you're doing great.
Thank you for the invite.
What are you doing next Saturday?
I don't know. What are you doing next Saturday?
I'm actually going to be judging the world's largest barbecue rib competition up in Sparks, Nevada. 500,000 people who will each, well, not each, who will all collectively consume 250,000 pounds.
Yeah, that sounds horrible.
Of ribs. I am really, my fifth year as a judge, I'm fasting. Rough. After I eat here tonight.
It's a rough life.
Anyway, yeah. We're also here with Brendan Katz, the owner of Oban. Now, before we get to our next guest, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to put you on the spot, Brendan Katz, boss man, BK.
Bring it.
You're going to roll out an amazing sort of Asian-inspired cocktail menu. One guy going to come in here and curate that menu. Why did you go with Matt Martinez?
You know, it's funny. Matt and I have some history together. Matt worked for me temporarily up north, and we had to kind of go separate ways for a little while. And, you know, Matt's the amount of skill that he's, you know, educated himself with over this past year is unbelievable. And I knew with his Japanese background and, you know, his skills behind the bar, it was a no-brainer.
Well, now that we have made him blush, the color of your very shirt here, Brendan, let's introduce him. He runs the bar operation here. He is a man who I've been drinking your cocktails, sir, for a long time. And when I heard that you were going to come over here and really launch this exciting libation program in a way that honors the traditions of Asia while bringing in some sort of cool twists and tweaks and turns, Matt Martinez, how you doing, man?
Doing great.
So,
good to see you, Matt.
You know, you're so calm. I mean, I just saw you, like, darn near working up a sweat behind the bar, and you just sort of walk over here, sit down, and say, hey.
I just internalize it.
Just so congratulations to you, Matt, for everything here. I mean, I've been following you on Instagram. I mean, I love the imagery of the work and the artistry of the work. And let me just say, we're going to be talking to Chef Paulo about this here in a few minutes. But when it comes to kicking out a great cocktail, a memorable cocktail, it's just about as important on the eye as it is to the palate, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Presentation is everything, especially coming from a sushi background. Spend a lot of time with garnish, attention to detail, things like that. And it's been a huge part of this cocktail program. I mean, from garnish to ingredients, everything has a story and a reason. Everything's thought out and beautiful, I think.
Absolutely beautiful. And you sort of, it complements the setting here. I mean, you take a look at the way this place is built. I think the cocktails are a manifestation of what Brandon and his team sort of, you know, committed to when they say it has to be aesthetics. And this and the cocktails are no exception. So was it a blank canvas when you came in to say, okay, we're going to put together a cocktail menu, the likes of which people here in Southern Arizona have unlikely seen? How did you begin to even get your head around what you wanted to do on this menu?
It was kind of tough. The bartending culture in Japan is pretty intense. The culture in Japan in general is pretty intense. So I knew from the beginning that I didn't want to pay an homage to Japanese bartenders necessarily. I wanted an homage to the ingredients, which is what I'm most interested in. I like being creative and creating new flavors, but in terms of the style of Japanese bartenders, it wasn't something I felt I could execute consistently here. You need a lot of people with a lot of training over a long period of time who really, really, really care. And I just want it to be fun.
Yeah, well, speaking about a guy who cares, he just walked by. This is like celebrity hour because Jared McKinley is here. He's actually working here. He's actually serving here. And it's all about service to Jared. It's never about himself. It's about his guests. And he actually is here working tonight. Ask for Jared. He will serve you a life-changing experience. Anyway, I'm just saying that to make you blush. But anyway, so we understand sort of the cultural inspiration for this cocktail menu. But what does that look like in terms of some of your selections? I mean, give us an idea of what some of the cocktails are on the menu that you think are uniquely representative of that concept.
Okay, so we do a house soda, and that was inspired by Asia spitting out different flavored sodas as fast as they can. You can get lychee flavored milk soda, you can get chocolate soda, you can get whatever. So we went a little bit lighter, but we have a bottled cocktail. It's called our green apple shiso soda. We use fresh juice, Granny Smith apples, a tea made from shiso leaves, citric and malic acid to mimic lime juice, and some shochu, which is a Japanese continuous distilled distillate.
It's really good.
I don't know what to say.
I've had several of them.
And we serve it in a bottle and a straw.
Serve it in a bottle with a bamboo
straw. And the presentation on that one I love. Yeah, with the straw.
With a bamboo straw. That's what we're talking about here. So, and what's that cocktail called again?
That's a green apple shiso soda.
A green apple shiso soda. How soda?
So we batch the entire cocktail. And then we put it in a Cornelius keg, force carbonate it, and put it on draft. And then we bottle from there.
So how many cocktails, sort of specialty signature cocktails, do you have on the menu that are sort of like that style?
Six. Well, I mean, none other are carbonated, but all six have a unique story and reason for all the ingredients.
Across the spectrum of spirits, too?
We try to represent all equally. We know people tend to stick to one spirit. We wanted to open people up to other things, so we made it accessible, but also threw in some weirdness just to make people uncomfortable.
Yeah, my favorite is the old-fashioned.
The black tea old-fashioned.
It's incredible. How did you come up with that?
So wanted to do a tea bourbon. It's pretty tough doing a tea infusion with alcohol because the first thing it pulls are the tannins. Yeah. So you end up with a really, really bitter infusion. We milk washed it, and then that removed the polyphenols. There's a protein called casein in milk that binds to polyphenols, tannins being one of those. So you end up with a tea-flavored bourbon that isn't too astringent. Took that a step further, added condensed milk and honey, because tea with milk and honey is a staple in black tea, hence the name Black Tea Old Fashioned. And then the stark contrast comes from Angostura bitters mixed with activated charcoal that makes it just squid ink black.
Something you'll make at home, right?
Just another day at the office for Matt Martinez. It sounds like a lot of work, man.
It is. It's a high prep, high output cocktail program. It's intended to be fast, but it's intended to be well thought out. There's a lot of steps involved, but everything moves out really, really quickly.
Well, clearly the cocktail program is a huge draw here.
It's $7. You know, it's $7. A lot of these craft cocktail places, $10, $11, $12 for a drink.
which that's fine. There's a lot of work going into it, but right. to see something that had that much thought and preparation to go into it for a reasonable price is refreshing.
I take it. Yeah, no pun intended.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna refresh myself with a bamboo straw here in a second. We have about a minute left before we have to go to a commercial break. You can't really get away with a traditional Japanese bar program without a sake.
Yeah, absolutely. Sake is one of the things I was most excited about going into it because it was something I knew nothing about. In the couple months leading up to it, I started really getting into sake, reading as much as I could, tasting as much as I could, and it became, to me, one of the most exciting parts of the bar program. Educating people on sake has been a blast. It also adds to the experience of the restaurant, which is intended to be communal. You have a bunch of food that's intended to be shared. You have pitchers of sake that's intended to be shared, and it's just... It has the whole family vibe.
You run the full spectrum, kind of from sweet to dry?
Oh, yeah. Every style, almost every style is represented. There's something for everyone.
Okay. We're talking to Matt Martinez, the man behind the majesty of the bar here at Oban. We're going to take another quick commercial break and thank a couple of our beloved sponsors, without whom we simply would not exist. But when we come back, Executive Chef Paulo M. is in the house. He's like posing for pictures right now, but he's making his way over to the broadcast booth. We're going to get a sense of what this means, what this Oban concept means when it comes to delivering an amazing and a memorable culinary experience. We're going to get a sense of his journey, and we might even roll up our sleeves and do a little eating ourselves. What do you say, Jamie?
Sounds good to me.
Sounds good. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, it's Paulo M. in the house. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Why such a loud slurp, my friend?
Well, I read on a recent article on TucsonFoodie.com 8 spots for Japanese ramen in Tucson that is customary.
What? No way.
Way. Not only that, but I found a great Tucson Foodie article about some of the best Tucson hotspots for happy hour, a guide to the growing number of restaurants in downtown Tucson, a roundup of killer spots for burgers, and a number of new restaurants to check out. Tucson Foodie also just won a Best Of Award from the Tucson Weekly's 2014 competition.
That's insane.
What? That they won an award?
No, that slurping ramen is customary. I'm going to have to check out Tucson Foodie to see for myself. Where can I find it?
They're all over. Check them out on the web at TucsonFoodie.com, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, and Tumblr. They also have a great weekly email newsletter, which you can sign up for at TucsonFoodie.com. Just look for the bright red logo.
I'm on it.
Great. Now, excuse me. I have a bowl of ramen to finish.
If you didn't know that Acacia has one of the best happy hours in the West, you've been missing out on a great experience. Our bar menu features a wide selection of shareable small plates, creative cocktails, extensive beer and wine, as well as daily specials every night of the week. Kick back, unwind, and join us at Acacia, where great food at great value is always on tap. Acacia, real food and cocktails. Visit us online at acaciatucson.com.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It is Matt Russell broadcasting live deep in the heart of another power happy hour here on Power Talk 1210, live from Oban. Who's in the house tonight for some great sushi and some great ramen? Now, you know, this is a sound that is an audience response that our next guest is probably used to. I mean, whenever he comes to work, he probably hears that from every corner of the restaurant. It is an absolute privilege of mine to welcome you, sir, here to this radio show because I've, you know, been following your career. You and I have never had a chance to get to know one another, and I'm just so excited to have you among our listeners. Executive chef from Oban, Paulo M.
Thanks for having me.
Paulo M is here.
Excited to have you. Excited to be here.
All I can say is wow. I mean, here I am. I'm drinking a cocktail out of a bamboo straw. You've got a huge following here that has come to see you on the radio. Mm-hmm. You've got millions more listening to you on the radio.
Okay.
And it's all about a traditional Japanese dining experience with a modern expression.
Right.
Talk to me a little bit about what that means.
Okay. So, first off, a term that I really hate about sushi that we hear a lot, especially people who are younger. I'm a second generation Korean. You hear the word fusion being thrown around a lot, and for some reason, I'm not a fan of that word.
Right, I hear you.
So the way I approach the food here is I hate the word fusion because, you know, the immigrant story for all cuisines is, how do I recreate the food from my home country? And basically, it always boils down to is, you have ingredients here in town, local that you don't have at home, but it's similar.
Right.
And it becomes its own thing, and that's what American food is. So I like to think of our food as adding to that American melting pot.
Yeah, and I think that's a beautifully authentic response. So what was your sort of journey to ascending now to the pinnacle of your culinary career here at Oban? I mean, when did this whole idea hit you that, you know, I like this food thing, and I really think I have something to contribute? I mean, were you a kid? I mean,
yeah, it actually started from my childhood. My mother was actually a culinary professor in Korea.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she trained in Japan, and she went back to Korea, started teaching food with Japanese techniques applied to Korean food. And when my parents immigrated to the States, they were both struck with illnesses. My father was struck with a severe stroke. My mom, she got struck with Parkinson's disease. Mm. And so I took over the cooking duties back at home. And so she would just pull up a chair, and she would instruct me in the kitchen on how to make traditional Korean food. So I got hands-on training from someone that teaches food professionally from a young age. So I was really comfortable with a knife by the time I entered the food scene on a professional level. I was 19 years old when I got my first job at Sakana in Ahwatukee.
Huh.
As a prep cook, and they saw that I was a natural, so they just fast-tracked me, brought me to the sushi line, and I fell in love with it.
And so you talk about, you know, learning these techniques mm-hmm. as a kid, but it's far more than just the rudiments and the tactical approach to cooking. It sounds like your story, there's a lot of sort of a cultural appreciation. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of soul in that story. Do you think mm-hmm. that that's impacted the work that you do here at Oban?
Oh, absolutely. So Oban is a festival in Japan that's grounded in Buddhist traditions, and the idea is to respect and pay homage to your ancestors and to your roots, and that's why I have a lot of Korean items on my menu. It's to pay homage to my mother. I have a dish called the bibimbap.
My favorite, by the way.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's a really simple dish. What it basically is in Korea you have dishes called banchan, right? And what you do next day, you take your leftover side dishes and you throw them into a bowl of rice. You fry an egg. You crack it on top of it. Mm. And you throw on some marinated sweet beef called bulgogi. Add some hot sauce called gochujang. And you bring it all together with some sesame oil. And
oh,
it's like a salad.
Really good.
Rice bowl. It's absolutely delicious.
It's got to be one of the show-stopping items on the menu.
It is. It is. And people always get a little bit thrown off because it's obviously not your traditional bibimbap. It's bibimbap with a modern twist. We have a 64-degree sous vide egg on top of it. So, you know, even our Korean diners get surprised when they see the dish arrive at the table. They're not used to the egg on top of it, and they're a little put off. It has like a gelatinous texture, but they end up enjoying it.
I'll tell you, anybody that is put off by an egg in any way, they're not listening to this radio show, so you don't have anything to worry about.
I'm glad.
Yeah. That 64-degree egg is such a great thing because the yolk, it's, you know, the sous vide is a great technique. You can get it to where the yolk is almost the consistency of mayonnaise. So it's not a runny egg. It's not a set yolk. It's right in the middle, and there's really no other way to do it other than that kind of consistent hot water bath temperature.
Oh my gosh! It's like velvet. It sounds like
it
velvet.
It is.
How long is that egg in the immersion circulating?
It's on for an hour and 15 minutes.
An hour and 15 minutes for an egg. Oh my gosh!
And you could literally leave it there for 3 days because it holds the temperature exactly. It's 64 degrees.
You don't have a spoon yet. I'm gonna grab you a spoon.
Which got one brought to the table.
Okay, so we're gonna dive into that head first here in a couple of minutes. Now this is a good segue because we want to talk about ramen.
Okay.
Now in my mind, mm-hmm. I have an association with ramen.
Okay.
When I was bartending at the Bum Steer in the 1980s.
Yeah.
Right. Where I met my beautiful wife, who was turned out here tonight. She stuck with me after all these years. But anyway, in college I ate a lot of ramen.
Uh-huh.
Now, you're being very patient with me, and you're smiling because you were saying you did not eat ramen in college, Matt, because what we ate in college and called it ramen is not ramen. It's the you know, 3 packs for 50 cents, top ramen, throw it in boiling water, boom, you got a bowl of noodles. This is ramen that we're talking about. Uh-huh. Talk about the tradition of what ramen is. And let me just say, slurping is allowed
at Oban. Oh, absolutely. We encourage it. So what you have to understand about ramen, it's a lot like pizza here in the States or maybe barbecue. Every region takes a lot of pride in their own style of ramen, like they would with barbecue here in the States. Like there's Kansas City style barbecue, there's Texas barbecue, and the same thing applies in Japan. There's no rules. You can put anything want. Absolutely. Authentic Japanese ramen is only authentic just because of its geographical location. That's what people need to understand. The rules are very flexible. There's a lot of rules that are there only to be broken. The only thing that makes ramen the same are the noodles. There are noodles cooked in kansue. And kansue is water with high alkalinity instead, which is opposite of acidity.
Right.
And it makes the noodles a lot more buoyant and can withstand hot water. Yeah. So proper ramen, there's no egg in it. A lot of people think it's egg noodle, but it's actually the key ingredient is kansue, which is water with a lower pH.
So on the menu here at Oban, I mean, ramen, the word ramen is in the title of your restaurant. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's this expectation that these guys know ramen and they know it well.
Mm-hmm.
You have different varieties of ramen on the menu? What does that look like?
We have three.
Okay.
Yeah, we have the most traditional ramen we have on our menu is probably the shoyu ramen, which is a soy broth with a chicken base. And that comes with enoki mushrooms, scallions, narutomaki, which is a rolled fish cake, bamboo shoots, and pork shoulder. Our other two ramen, they're both pork-based, and the Oban ramen, it has what you see right in front of you is the black garlic oil, which is what we make in the house. It's very unique.
Black garlic oil made in-house.
Yep.
Now, he's just sort of nodding, Jamie, and saying, well, duh.
I remember talking to him, months ago about, you know, he saw this and wanted to recreate it, and we had some ideas on how he was going to do it, and then we kind of let it go, and it just appeared. So I'm very interested to see what you finally did to make it happen.
Yeah, so what we do is we just take some sesame oil, and we thin slice some garlic, and we fry the garlic in the oil. And while it's still hot, we just add some activated charcoal to it to give it that nice color. Traditionally, what you would do is you would burn the garlic until it's bitter and burnt.
Right.
And then you would blend it. But I kind of wanted to get rid of that astringent, bitter flavor.
Yeah.
So we decided to just go with the activated charcoal with it.
Well, and the soul of the ramen is the broth, right?
So yes.
What is the and I know it's a very complicated process. So tell us a little bit about what goes into making your broth, and you make it every day, I'm assuming.
Yeah, broth. It has two components. You have the stock, and you also have something called the tare. The tare is the flavoring, and the easiest way to think about tare is to think about where the source of salt comes from. So. Traditionally, very common tares are miso, soy sauce, and salt.
Mm-hmm.
And with our ramen, the shoyu is obviously soy sauce. And with the oban, it's a hybrid between salt and soy. And with our tonkotsu ramen, we just keep it simple with salt. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. And gorgeous is the word. I'm looking at this ramen, and again, the pictures are going to be up on our Facebook page and Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff. And, you know, On the Menu Live on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram should be part of your daily diet. But I digress. When you're putting the bowl together, it's as thoughtful and intentional as what Matt is doing with the cocktail or what you're doing with sushi. So it almost looks like when you're putting it together, that would be a disservice to sort of. I have sort of this Cobb salad idea where you've got little zones of things. It's not this, you know, mishmash of ingredients. You're dedicating each part of the bowl to a different ingredient. Is that the sort of the traditional way to present the dish?
It's not a traditional way. It's just kind of my approach, and just coming from a sushi background, instead of just throwing the ingredients to the bowl, I encourage my chefs and my cooks to plate the ramen. So each component has its integrity still intact when it, by the time it arrives to the table.
The broth is almost like a canvas, and you're using the ingredients as different paint, you know, making a picture.
Absolutely.
How do you? What makes the broth have that kind of milky texture? Because it's not like a clear, you know, consommé or a stock.
No, that's from the pork bones.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the marrow and everything that's just gonna, you know, all the good stuff.
Another way to get that texture is to add soy milk to it.
Okay.
That's very common, and that would also apply to the process of making a tare. You also see tahini being added to a lot of ramen to get that texture, too.
The sesame paste, like the big hummus way?
Right.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Yeah, the Japanese call their version gomashabu, but it's very similar to tahini, sesame paste.
I want to remind all of our listeners that Chef Paulo M. is going to be providing you with an opportunity to come in here and try Oban for yourself on him. We're going to be a trivia question here a little bit later on in the show, and the first person that calls in with the right answer is going to be getting an Oban gift certificate to experience this wonderful, magnificent place called Oban for themselves. Now, before we dive into the bowl of ramen, and let me just say, it seems like a disservice for me to even touch it, let alone taste it, because it's just this glorious presentation. And by the way, I love that we live in a culture where ramen is plated up. I just love that. But anyway, you've got a few ramens on the menu, but people are coming here from miles away for sushi. Now, sushi, you know, might be a saturated space. There's a lot of sushi all over the world. What is it about the sushi here that makes you so proud?
So going back to the idea of digging into your roots, I make sure that we are taking the proper steps to creating authentic sushi. So we try as little as possible to buy prepackaged sauces bottled from distributors. We make dashi in the house.
Wow.
Yeah. Our ponzu is house-made. It's just, you know, sake, mirin, dashi, citrus juice. What else? I also dive into having a lot of those elevated, higher-end proteins being served with real wasabi.
Mm. Real wasabi.
Real wasabi.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've tried real wasabi and some of the other wasabi that you get at other places. The differences are not like night and day.
Yeah, and I have a couple items coming to the table pretty soon. It's from the section on our menu called Modern Nigiri. Mm. Each one of those fishes get brushed with our dashi soy, which is a soy sauce that we make in the house that is elevated with higher glutamic acids. And a lot of people are put off with the idea of MSG, but this is MSG that is extracted from natural sources such as kombu, which is kelp, shiitake mushrooms that are dried and aged, dry-shaped bonito flakes. So you're not just eating your typical packaged brand soy sauce. You're eating soy sauce that is constructed, that is a lot more flavorful, but it also takes a backseat and allows the protein to be the star in the dish.
Now, what's the one item on the menu? Of all the magnificence that you've curated for this menu, is there one dish, there's one item...
Oh, don't make him do that.
...that you believe...
Who's your favorite child?
is from the M, heart, and soul. What's that one dish?
I would say, not a dish, but a section on our menu is the crudos. I think it's a perfect representation of who I am on a culinary level. Mm. It's taking very traditional items, adding more traditional ingredients, but plating it and presenting it in a modern sort of way. And with those dishes, I take the liberty of not plating them in a traditional manner. A lot of my influence for those dishes come from a place called Uchi and Uchiko in Austin, Texas. Mm. There's a chef over there named Paul Key that I look up to, and a lot of plating styles and cues I take from him.
Beautiful. What an honor. What a tribute.
Yeah.
So before we do our trivia question, let's have some ramen. Is there a protocol I need to follow? Because I'm a little intimidated. Okay, so walk me through the process so I don't stick out like a sore thumb here at Oban.
First off, we eat with our eyes first. So you just take a look at every component in the dish, and then you're going to first pick up your spoon.
Okay.
And you're going to try the broth. And just slurp that broth. Make sure you're getting a lot of air in.
Slurp the broth. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm gonna have to move my microphone.
Okay.
This is you can't make this up. This is actually happening on live.
Right. Now, take another slurp of the broth, but from the green onion.
From this side.
On top of the green onion, yes.
But just the broth.
Yes. So, can you taste the difference?
Complete difference.
Yeah, there's a lot more sulfites on that area of the bowl coming from the green onion.
Now do the pepper side.
Okay, so this is I'm like working my way around the bowl. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Same broth,
mm-hmm.
but it's just where it's located with the ingredients is giving it a different sort of sense of infusion, a different sense of place.
Absolutely.
Careful, that one might hurt.
Thank you for the advance warning there, Jamie Rice. Wow. This is absolutely gorgeous. Now, what does this bowl cost? I mean, this is, it's magnificent.
It's a $12 bowl of ramen.
That's it.
Well, a lot of people might have a problem with that $12 bowl of ramen.
Well, they don't listen to this show, follow him. All right, we're going to be walking our way through the rest of this ramen, but we do want to give one of our listeners a chance to win a gift certificate to experience Oban for themselves. Have you thought about what a good trivia question would be to ask our listeners?
I have.
Okay, let's lay it on me.
So a lot of people think of sushi as Japanese cuisine, but what is the country where sushi originated from?
Okay, great question.
Not Japan.
Okay, oh, you gave a little bit of a tease. Okay, a little bit of a hint. What is the country where sushi originated?
And I know the answer. Can I have a gift card?
It's not Japan. Okay, where did sushi originally come from? If you think you know the answer to the question, give us a call right now, 750-7456. Again, that's 750-7456 for a chance to win an Oban gift card. We're diving back into the ramen, and we will be right back.
Where is Tucson's only locally owned and trusted purveyor of the freshest extra virgin olive oil and specially aged balsamics? Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics in St. Phillips Plaza. I'm Matt Russell, and I trust Alfonso exclusively for my olive oil and balsamics, and you should too. Tom and Nancy Alfonso invite you to taste the difference for yourself. Choose from nearly 30 olive oils imported from all over the world, from single varietals to fusions and infusions with fresh herbs, fruits, and spices. And enjoy the sweet and velvety flavors of more than 20 aged balsamics from Modena, Italy, including espresso, dark chocolate, fig, as well as traditional balsamic. And while you're there, check out their wide selection of artisan salts, peppers, chutneys, and jams, as well as fun accessories to take your olive oil and balsamic experience to a new level. Stop in today for a complimentary tasting. And as they say, taste first and buy when the excitement becomes overwhelming. Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics in St. Phillips Plaza on the southeast corner of River and Campbell. See what they're pouring today at alfonsooliveoil.com.
If you enjoy craft beer like I do, you want consistency, innovation, and passion to go into each and every beer that you drink. And Barrio Brewing Company, Arizona's oldest brewery, puts all three into each beer it produces. And they've been handcrafting fine beers for Tucson and Arizona for nearly 25 years. Barrio Brewing serves up a spectacular lineup of 12 standard and seasonal brews, including Barrio Blonde, the oldest continuously brewed beer in all of Arizona. Barrio also turns out specialty beers each month, like its new Simpatico Stout, a rich blend of Euro espresso roasted coffee, low-fat cocoa, flaked oats, and milk sugars to give you just the right balance of sweetness and a full, creamy mouthfeel with every sip. Stop by Barrio Brewing Company at the corner of 16th Street and Tool Avenue, just southeast of downtown, to enjoy some of Arizona's most innovative and delicious brews. Or look for them at your local grocer or your favorite dining and drinking establishments across town. Learn more today at BarrioBrewing.com.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It's Matt Russell broadcasting live from Oban and Ramen Sushi Bar. On the corner of 4th and Congress, I am making my way through this bowl of ramen with a sous vide egg. All this wonderful, as Jamie Rice said, this palette of ingredients and palette of flavors, almost like an artist would approach a piece of art.
It is beautiful.
It is beautiful. Yeah. Anyway, we got some callers that think they know the answer to the question. We're here with Executive Chef Paulo M., who asks the question, what country did sushi originate from. And we're going to line one and see if Nick knows the answer to the question. Hey, Nick, welcome to On the Menu Live.
Thank you. I think it originated in China.
Okay, so Nick thinks it originated in China. Chef, what do you say?
That is absolutely correct.
Nick, you did it!
Well, thank you.
Oh, man, our first caller. And look into the sad faces of all the other callers who unfortunately have to walk away without the victory. But anyway, Nick, you did it. Sushi actually did originate from China. Congratulations, man. Thanks for listening. And don't hang up because Mike back at the studio is going to get all your information. And we're going to send that Oban gift card out to you in the mail. You're going to have a blast, man.
Thank you so much.
All right, Nick's in for a treat.
All right.
So, China?
Yeah.
Now, I would have thought it was Japan as well.
No. So what? How the origins of sushi is actually, so the land would get flooded, and the riverbanks would overflow, and the fish would end up into the rice paddies. And what people would do is they would collect the fish, and then they would take it back home with them, and they would pack it with rice to preserve it. And what they would actually end up with is a very different version of sushi from today. They would end up with this gooey, gelatinous fish that's been cured, and the rice would become sour. And that method migrated all the way to Japan. And with all the feudal wars in China, the art got lost, and it just evolved and took off from there. And that's why when people think of sushi, they think of Japan.
Well, and they're wrong. It's China.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we have just about another minute or so left. Talk to us about what you've brought out for us to enjoy here.
Okay, this is our pork belly steamed bun. This is actually a Taiwanese dish. So it's not a bun that people are used to where all the ingredients are enclosed, but it's more of a sandwich. It has our braised pork belly, hoisin sauce, mustard, and tsunamono pickles and scallions.
Yeah, it's a Taiwanese version of a barbecue pork sandwich.
Yeah.
Basically.
The steam bun is just perfect.
Steam buns are some of my favorite things. They're awesome. They're not easy to make either.
Man, I mean, nothing is easy here. I mean,
no.
Matt said it's a lot of work behind the bar.
It's all a labor of love.
But they make it look easy because they roll into town, you know, they go to work, they got a smile on their face, a song in their heart, and they kick out pork belly steam buns and ramen. Wonderful sushi. Hours of operation here. Are you guys doing lunch and dinner?
Right now, we're not doing lunch yet. We're launching lunch on September 9th. But for now, our diners can expect us to open at 4 p.m. every night.
4 p.m. 7 nights a week.
Yep.
On the corner of 4th and Congress. Do yourself a favor. Come on down to Oban. Begin with some steam buns, some pork belly steam buns. Work your way. Do a ramen or two. Have some wonderful sushi. Get to know Matt Martinez behind the bar. Drink something through a bamboo straw and call it authentic here at Oban. Anyway, Executive Chef Paulo M., thank you so much to you.
Thank you for having me.
To your family for bringing you into our presence and for the lovely story that you keep telling about your family as an inspiration, how that's evident here all across Oban. And to Jamie Rice from 520 Eats, we want everybody to go visit them, engage with them, interact with them. Buy Jamie a beer, for crying out loud.
Yes,
he works
please.
Hard in this community, and you know you deserve all the love and affection that anyone can muster up.
Thank you, thank you. And if you are from Phoenix, a quick plug, we just launched PHX Eats today.
Are we breaking news on this show?
We are.
Okay, our advertisers demand that we do that.
Well.
PHXEats.com.
Yes.
It's in Phoenix.
Yes.
All of the Maricopa County. Deliciousness is manifest for you. PHXEats and 520Eats.com here in Southern Arizona.
Thank you so much.
Way to go, Jamie. Anyway, if you missed any part of this show whatsoever, the entire show is going to be up on our website, onthemenulive.com, early next week. In the meantime, it's Matt Russell and Jamie Rice reminding you, if it's Saturday from 4 to 5, it's On the Menu Live. Cheers, fellow foodies. We will see you at Oban.
Broadcasting live from the Tucson Original Studios. This is KEVT Salida Tucson, the Tucson Originals, local dining at its best.